And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by United American Bank, your friendly community bank. United American Bank, offering simply better banking in Half Moon Bay, San Mateo, and Redwood City. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We were recently intrigued by a press release from the office of State Senator Jerry Hill. It announced that entries were being accepted for the 7th annual Ought to Be a Law or Not contest. It invited people to submit their ideas for a new state law or one you think should be taken off the books. We invited the senator in for a visit. Well, I was very intrigued by the press release that was sent out talking about the 7th annual bill idea contest. First of all, it's now in its 7th annual running. Let's go back to the beginning. How did this come to be? Whose idea was it, and what was involved in bringing this forward?
Well, Jim, this is not a novel idea. Other legislators have done this. They've tried to go out to the public to get ideas on bills. And in fact, my predecessor, Senator Joe Simidian, did it as well. I started it in the Assembly as he was doing it in the Senate, because we had different districts in different areas. But to me, there's nothing more important. There's no one who knows laws better than those who have to follow them. The average citizen, the person who has to deal with laws every day, they're not living in a Sacramento bubble that I sometimes wind up in during 9 months out of the year. So it's very important. And so we thought that it would be a great idea. And as you know, the contest says that there ought or oughtn't be a law. So it's not just what law you think we should implement and California needs. It's kind of what's that law that maybe has outlived its usefulness and we should get rid of it and eliminate it.
It's interesting because we've all heard people say, well, there ought to be a law type of thing, and so now we actually see it in motion. And when you talk about antiquated and ancient laws, sometimes you run across things on the books that are still legal but not enforced, like, you know, spitting in a platoon in a saloon or something.
Exactly. There have been those, and as they come up, we do eliminate them in Sacramento. And interestingly, I've not had many suggestions yet on what laws we should eliminate. Everyone always talks about and mentions, complains, basically, that, oh, there are too many laws in this state. But when it gets down to which ones you want to eliminate, there aren't many suggestions.
What I think is really great is the fact that people have made suggestions that you have felt worthy to actually run up the proverbial flagpole and put into a motion or try to get it affected in the law. Give us some of the ones over the years that stand out in your mind as being really successful and wonderful ideas that actually translated into becoming law.
Absolutely, and we've had some great ideas. Probably one of the most important ones that I saw was, it was in 2010, it was Assembly Bill 2654 by a Menlo Park, that was by Stan Fetterman from Millbrae. His bill really was unique because we all get copies in the mail. We get letters that look very official. They look like they're coming from a government agency. And you open it, in most cases, it's a scam trying to get you to pay them money to file a form to the government, and they make money that you could do for nothing by sending it in. So what the suggestion was is, why don't we, you know, obviously we can't stop them from doing it, but we can make them put on those envelopes to include a large disclaimer that this is not from the government. This is not a government document. And we include that on every page of the document that they're sending, so a person can kind of get a little more transparency and honesty in the mail. So that was a great suggestion.
And what's a shame is the fact that, especially among our older population, it's so easy to defraud them or to deceive them, and they sometimes fall victim to these shams.
Absolutely. And this, I think, does make a difference in just the integrity of the system a little bit, so that we know what we're getting. And actually, in 2013, we had a suggestion from a Menlo Park resident that I thought was great, and the governor signed it, and it went into effect in January of this year. And that really goes to the point, when you vote, I vote by mail every year, and I get the ballot, but I signed up for that a number of years ago. If I wanted today to find out if my vote counted, when I send that app, that vote by mail, they send that ballot back, and they count it, at least they're supposed to. There was no way for me to find out if my vote counted or didn't count. I could find out if they received the ballot, but there was nothing, there's nothing in place today to require the Registrar of Voters to let you know if it counted or not. And as we know, if it's 20 years ago when you filled out that application for an absentee ballot, your signature changes with age, you may have some illness that caused some changes, and there was no way to find out. And so you could have been voting every election thinking that your vote counted, and it didn't. So this now requires the registrar to have some mechanism, so if you ask the question, you'll get an answer if you voted.
Now, while we're on the subject of voting,
yes,
I work for the San Mateo County Election Department periodically, teaching, actually, poll workers. And one of the things that I was surprised this last election is the number of people that I ran into in the Half Moon Bay area that assumed that their vote-by-mail, absentee ballot, whatever you want to call it, basically had to be postmarked by Election Day, where, in point of fact, the ballot had to be received on or before the date of the election. And so some people, like taxes and other documents, as long as it's postmarked, but not so in San Mateo County with that. Now, I've been told that starting, I believe it's next year, that that will actually change, and that as long as it's postmarked by Election Day, there'll be 3 days grace period after which to receive the ballot.
And I think that's a wonderful solution to that problem. And when you look at the post office, as we know, they have now kind of delayed the mail delivery an extra day. They've cut back on some of their services. So where it normally would take 1 day, it's now taking two or three to get mail across town, or in many cases from one city to the next. So I think that's a great solution for that. And I think that we need to do whatever we can to encourage people and incentivize them in some way to vote, because it's pretty shameful right now when you look at the numbers.
Now, do you have other examples?
Yeah, well, those were a couple of that I thought were the best. We did have one that was inspired by a Half Moon Bay resident, Ida Cook, and a San Bruno resident the same year, Scott Bushman. They were co-winners of the 2009 contest. And what that was trying to, if you're driving down the highway and there's a dump truck in front of you, that dump truck spills debris off of the truck, breaks your window, but they drive off. It's hard to determine, find out who they are. You can't catch them and what you can do with them. You know, there's no way to know if they don't stop and if you didn't get their license number. And so what this did is, at the end of the day, we were able to increase the penalty for spills. We wanted to have them have a large phone number on the vehicle so you could call them. But the one thing I learned in Sacramento early on is that politics is the art of compromise, and the opposition was very strong from the trucking industry and those that did not want to have their phone number sticking out there on the back of their truck. And so it's unfortunate, but that was a large battle. But we did get a bill out of it, and we did get the governor to sign it.
Speaking of Sacramento, how long have you been a senator now?
Well, I've been a senator for 2 years, was elected in 2012, and prior to that I spent 4 years in the state assembly.
Now, of all of the time that you've been in Sacramento, and you look back on the laws and the bills that you have sponsored, proposed, what really stands out in your mind when you think back, you go, you know, I'm really proud of this. I just feel so good about this bill and having gotten it through.
Well, that's a tough question, because the first thing you learn when you get to Sacramento, that they tell you, and this is people in the culture that have been there for a long time, they say, don't get married to your bills. Because you get married to them, and unfortunately for me, or fortunately, I get very passionate about every one of them. If I didn't like them and love them and be married to them, I wouldn't spend the time and energy. But the problem with that is they never wind up the same way at the end of the day, and sometimes it'll die halfway through, and you get very personally affected by that. One bill that, and we've been carrying it forward in terms of trying to do something about this, is the issue of drunk driving. The one thing I learned early on, in fact, at the Laurelwood Shopping Center in San Mateo, there was a Starbucks, two highway patrolmen having coffee. Fellow got out of a car, walked in, staggered into the Starbucks, and they arrested him for drunk driving. Well, as I read the newspaper article about it, this was his 9th DUI, and he still had a valid, legal California driver's license. I said, what is this? Is crazy. What state, what society would give someone a ninth, after 9 DUIs, a valid driver's license? Well, I found that it's California that does it. They also, after 10 years, because when the judge in 2008 adjudicated over this person's 8th DUI, he only saw 3 on his record. Because after 10 years, your DUIs go away. So the judge did not have a clear picture of this fellow's problem. And so I wanted to change that. I had a bill that says 3 strikes, you're out. You get 3 DUIs, you're not driving anymore in California. Well, sounds good. I thought it was appropriate, safe for the public. And the reality was that the public defenders, the defense attorneys in California did not want to see that. And frankly, it would have increased the penalty for driving under the influence, and prisons are full already. So the best I could get was that now a judge, after 3 DUIs, can, at his discretion, take your license away for 10 years. Before, it was only 3 years. And so we were able to add that, and that could take 10,000 repeat DUI offenders off the road every year. We'll be in that same vein next 2 weeks from now. In fact, you heard it here at first. We'll be introducing legislation that will require, if you've received 1 DUI, that then if you're to drive after that, which most people are allowed to drive, your vehicle will have to have an ignition interlock device on it. There has been a pilot program in 5 counties that has proved quite successful. Other states do this already. And so that way you can't drive your vehicle fed alcohol. And it stays on for a while until you've proved yourself that you can responsibly drive a vehicle.
Well, you know, part of the job of government is protecting people.
Absolutely.
And you look back over the years, and not only has there been a lot of accidents, which has been caused by drunk drivers, but even more sad is the fact that a lot of people have lost their lives due to drunken drivers.
Well, and I think part of my passion for that is that my best friend that I personally grew up with, if I had a brother, he would have been it, and he was killed by a drunk driver.
Now, you've been very good about wanting to get out and visit with people. You've had your coffees and opportunities for people to come and talk to you and visit with you. So you certainly believe in coming off the mountain and getting involved with the constituents, which is very good. Now, if a person wanted to visit with you or a member of your staff, how would they go about doing it if they wanted to actually come in and maybe talk to you, or they have something on their chest that they would like to talk about to one of your staff members?
Sure. Well, the district office, the easiest thing is to call our office here, and the phone number is 650-212-3313. It's an easy call, and if you like, we can figure out a time to get together and chat about something, or we could talk on the phone. You could leave your number, and I'd be happy to give you a call back. I never forget who I work for. And in the Senate, it's a large district. We represent almost 1 million people, and every one of them is my boss, is the way I look at it, and I don't want to forget that. And if you have an idea about there ought to be a law or a law you'd like, that's the same number you could call, and we can talk with you about that at that number, or go to, we have it on our website, applications@senator.hill@senate.ca.gov. And there's an application there. You can fill it out. We get a couple hundred applications every year, and really the criteria that we use is we want to want something that has a chance of passing, that there's a good chance that we can do something for certainly the constituent that has the idea, but we want to see if there's something there. There are a number of them that really wouldn't pass. We've gotten a few of those, too, that wouldn't have much chance.
Right. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in and visiting with us. We appreciate it so much.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
How many times have you said there ought to be a law? Now is your opportunity to submit your ideas to Senator Hill and his staff. You can contact Senator Jerry Hill at 212-3313. Again, that number is 212-3313. And if you have an idea for a topic for our feature story of the week, give us a call at the KHNB listener line, 453-4000. This is Jim Henderson, and on behalf of those who make possible the radio magazine, thank you for listening. And now, fasten your seatbelts for another ride in the KHNB Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer, next on your hometown community station, AM 1710, KHNB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHNB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week has been brought to you by United American Bank, your friendly community bank. United American Bank, offering simply better banking in Half Moon Bay, San Mateo, and Redwood City. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
With my grandkids, it seems like I'm always writing checks and needing cash. Birthdays, holidays, fundraisers, you name it. But with United Personal Checking from United American Bank, I don't worry about it because United American Bank makes checking easy.
Move up to United American Bank Personal Checking. You'll enjoy unlimited check writing, free checks, a free debit card, free ATM transactions, free online banking, and free bill pay. Maintain an average monthly balance of $2,500, and you'll earn interest and avoid service charges, too.
With United American's Personal Checking, I can bank anytime and anywhere. It's hassle-free checking from a bank I can trust. For me, that's simply better banking.
Visit Teresa Adam at United American Bank. With more than 40 years of community banking expertise, Teresa is a simply better banker. United American Bank, North Cabrillo Highway, next to Burger King in Half Moon Bay. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.